Blog Talk Radio.
New season, no mercy. This year, NASCAR in Richmond won't be slowing down for anything or anyone. So where will you be on race day? Sitting at home or strapped in for whatever happens next? NASCAR, Richmond, chaos at every corner. Witness the chaos of the Toyota Owners 400 on April 30th. With tickets starting at just $35 and special offers for youth and military, visit RIR.com.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Live from Dega Nation, I'm Tim Despain, alongside of my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson, up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Stephen, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. What's going on?
I don't know much. We got a lot of we got some breaking news. We got a break. Just to let everybody know tonight, the number to call is 215-383-3681. And at the bottom of the hour, we have our good friend, President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer, coming on. Let's go ahead and bring Reverend Joe into the pit stop, Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson, and go ahead and get the invocation and going. And Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Not too bad. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Reverend. Thank you again for being Johnny on the spot and coming in and doing our invocation, bud. We really do appreciate it.
Not a problem. Shall we get this party started?
Yes, sir. Crank it up, Reverend.
Lord, we thank you for another day in this great country. We thank you for all you do for us. We ask you to bless racers all over the world and all over our great country. Be with us all. Help us to have a good show. Bless our guests. Extra special blessing out to my old friend Dennis and Richmond Raceway and Lord, watch over all of our troops all over the world as things are getting a little sticky. And we know that you are the only way we can get through these things. So please, be with us all and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Oh.
as always. Great invocation, bud. You and Betty doing okay out there on the West Coast, my friend?
Yes, sir. We're working our butts off, getting ready to sell our Washington house and be permanently in Southern California. Otherwise, things are pretty good. Betty's had some health struggles, but we're getting through it.
That sounds good, Reverend. You know we'll all be praying for you and Betty, and we really appreciate it again. Reverend, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, bud.
Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. My personal phone number is 951-232-7630. Bring us up anytime.
And, Reverend, you also post stuff on mine and Suzanne's Facebook page too, correct?
Yes, sir. Every day, unless I forget.
Well, I am too, Reverend. But again, Reverend, thank you very much for being Johnny on the spot, coming on the show, and we really appreciate it. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, and don't work too hard. Just take your time, and y'all get everything moved down there to California, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, bud. But don't forget, tell Miss Betty we said hello.
We'll do that, and say hello to Dennis Bickmeyer for me.
Yes, sir, I will, Reverend. Thank you very much, Reverend.
Take care.
All right, you too, bud. Stephen, that was Reverend Joe there. Our good. He's been Johnny on the spot. I done said that three times. I guess I need to watch my Stephen. We have probably some of the. I'm trying to think of the word to say this. This is probably one of the most publicized breaking news out of NASCAR since I don't know when. I mean, it's been nationally televised. I mean, and I'm going to go ahead and bring you on. Dale Jr. announced this morning. I want to find this button, this breaking news button. Dale Jr. announced this morning that he will be stepping aside after the 2017 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series season. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know what it's going to do to the sport, but Stephen, we got. This is all. Stephen, let all of our listeners know. The number to call is 215-383-2833-3681. I'm Tim Despain alongside of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, we had some breaking news come out this morning about Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, so after two decades in NASCAR, his career will come to an end, as you just said, after the 2017 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series season. 26 victories, 149 top fives, 253 top ten, 13 poles, over 8,000 laps led, and $100 million plus in earnings. He's won the Daytona 500 twice. He is a two-time Xfinity Series champion, and after this year, he will be out of the sport. I mean, arguably one of the most. He is the most popular driver, 14 times running in a row. Bill Elliott, the only one to exceed him with 16 total most popular driver awards in the series. You know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is arguably the most popular driver, most recognizable driver around the world in the sport of NASCAR. You know, over the last couple of seasons, and even at the beginning of the season, I mean, we had Carl Edwards walk into Joe Gibbs Racing and say that he was out, he was done, and Daniel Suarez got in the car, that number 19 Arias Toyota over there. 2 years ago, we had Jeff Gordon leave after his career. I mean, we've had Tony Stewart leave. Now this Dale Earnhardt, we don't really know what's going on with Greg Biffle. He's not really announced an official retirement yet, so I'm not really putting him in that category yet. We're still really waiting to see. I mean, most people think he's gone, but, you know, I'm not even sure yet. Nobody really is for sure because he's not really said anything. But, you know, when you start talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr., he is arguably the face of NASCAR anywhere around the world. There is nobody, no matter where you go, that if you speak on the sport, that somebody doesn't recognize Dale Earnhardt Jr. Brought a tremendous amount of support into the sport. The fan base that follows him weekly, you know, everything that he's done over his career, the people that have followed him throughout his career, this is epic, and this epic in proportional to every other driver that we've seen leave the sport in the last, you know, decade or more. You know, even Jeff Gordon leaving the sport and all that he had done, his multiple championships and everything that he had done for Hendrick Motorsports and even on TV now, you know, there was a lot of following, a lot of backing behind him. But I think, you know, in proportional, when you put this into a proportional amount, I mean, this is really – this would even top, I think, Jeff Gordon leaving the sport of NASCAR if you would actually look at it on a scale. It is monumental in that aspect. And forever going forward, you know, Kel Wisser that writes for me, he said, at the end of this year and when 2018 rolls around, this will be the first time when 2018 comes around, there will not be somebody named Dale Earnhardt running in the sport of NASCAR. And that's hard to believe since 1978.
You're right, Stephen. And I want to, you know, throw in there, you know, I've been very fortunate enough here at Talladega Super Speedway to actually ask Dale Jr. some questions in the media center. And he handles himself very, very well. And, you know, I don't want to bring this up, but I'm going to the concussions. I mean, you know, you and I talked about it last year about the concussions that Dale Jr. had, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's probably three or four. But I don't know if that made a decision on him leaving the sport. I know you and I listened to the media, to the Hendrick Motorsports audio, the press conference there. He did mention back on March the 29th, and just to throw this out there to our listeners, Dale Jr.'s contract was coming up, I think, at the end of this year. And he mentioned in his audio that he wanted to fulfill his obligations to Mr. Hendrick and to his sponsors. And so from what you and I gathered with the media center audio there, not media center, but with the press conference audio there from Hendrick Motorsports there in Charlotte, they had already talked on March the 29th about what was going to go down, correct?
Yes, that's, you know, when he had the conversation saying that he would retire, and spoke with Rick Hendrick and made the decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And just want to throw out there too, my good friend Russell Brown, I'm public relations director here at Talladega Super Speedway. He was in a lot of meetings today, but I did text with him, and he's sort of down and out, you know, because him and Dale Jr. were real big buddies. So just want to throw that out there, Russell. We send our condolences to you too, and everybody. You know, Dale Jr. always called Talladega Super Speedway home, just like his dad, Dale Sr. Both of them has had a lot of success here at Talladega Super Speedway. And there's probably going to be a lot of stuff going on. I haven't talked to Russell. I've texted him earlier. They had a big media deal today, I think, with Elliott Sadler. But I haven't talked to him. But there's probably going to be a big deal here at Talladega Super Speedway in the next, well, I next weekend's Richmond, next weekend's Davis, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you start looking at some of the tracks coming up, especially when he gets to Talladega, I mean, this is kind of short notice for them, but, you know, Earnhardt has owned restrictor plate racing over the last several decades. I mean, when he comes there to Talladega, it's absolutely Earnhardt territory. You cannot count him out when he has been there, and no matter where he is out in the field, he is very much has the ability to control much of what goes on in the race, because many people want to follow him, mimic him, and do whatever he does in hopes of that last lap pass to get out there and win. This is the same that, you know, as I said, he's won the Daytona 500 twice in his career. He's, he's won multiple times there at the, you know, Talladega. So, you know, restrictor plate racing in him has very much been a part of, you know, an Earnhardt legacy that, you know, not only his dad took many attempts to win the Daytona 500 and only did so once. And for him, as, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., to win it twice and one of only a handful of people that have done so, you know, makes it even more unique. But, you know, coming into Talladega, it is very much Earnhardt territory, because it seems like, you know, as we continually talk, as we get to Talladega every single week, it always seems like no matter who is out there, no matter what is going on, you have to bring Dale Earnhardt Jr. into the conversation, no matter where he starts out or what he's doing.
Exactly. And, Stephen, I don't know if I got this audio downloaded, the whole full thing. Let's listen to a little bit about the Earnhardt Hendrick announcement this morning at Hendrick Motor Speedway with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for being here today, especially on such short notice. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces. We're here today to confirm the news you received this morning that I've decided to make this season my last as a NASCAR Cup driver. The response just in the last 6 hours from teammates, colleagues, and friends, and fans has been incredibly overwhelming. So before I go any further, I just want to thank everybody for making me feel pretty incredible today. You're wondering why I reached this decision. It's really simple. I just wanted the opportunity to go out on my own terms. I wanted to honor my commitment to Rick, to my sponsors, to my team, and to the fans. I'll admit that having influence over my exit only became meaningful when it started to seem most unlikely. As you know, I missed a few races last year, and during that time I had to face the realization that my driving career may have already ended without me as so much getting a vote at the table. Of course, in life we're not promised a vote, and that's especially true in racing. But during my rehab, I was given something else that I wasn't accustomed to, and that was time. Time to understand what's important to me. Time to realize the incredible support system I have in my wife, my team, and my doctors. And time to work like hell to wrestle back some semblance of say-so in this whole matter. And so that became my motivation. The opportunity to stand here at this podium to announce my choice, rather than some fate that was decided for me. In that regard, the race car wasn't my goal. It was merely the vehicle that got me here today. Now, planning my exit this way gives me the chance to publicly thank those who made the last 18 years possible. First and foremost, Rick Hendrick. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think the toughest thing about this decision was having to tell you. I just didn't want to disappoint you. You mean so much to me. And so on March 29th, I drove over and had the conversation with him, and his response, he told me he loved me. Becoming a bigger part of your life has changed mine forever. You gave me guidance and direction that will reward me for as long as I live. my wife Amy. Most of you have been around long enough to know what I was like before I met Amy. Not a day goes by that someone doesn't remind me of the incredible positive impact she's had on me. Through thick and thin, Amy's support and encouragement has been constant. The rehab that I spoke of earlier, she went through it too. The only difference is she didn't have to, but she did. There were no days off. There were no hours off. There were no minutes off. It was just Amy and me. Without her help in those days of recovery, I wouldn't have been able to return to the track for this season. The second most difficult thing about this decision was telling my brothers, Greg Ives and the guys on my 88 team. It's a privilege to race with this group. Greg is one of the most talented yet humble guys in the garage. We are very close, and I appreciate the sacrifices that he and his family have made for the good of our team. From my road crew to the pit crew to all the people in the 4888 shop, I'm a better driver and a better person from my time with you guys. You've helped me mature and grow well beyond the racetrack. We love to work together, and I look forward to every single trip we have left on the schedule this season. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, I think if I were to sum up Kelly's life in one word, it'd be sacrifice. Y'all know the stories, and they're all true. She dropped out of one school to enroll in military school, where I was, because she was worried about me. She came to work for me, even though it meant she'd have to take a massive pay cut, but she knew that I needed her. She didn't think twice about it. She made it her life mission to have my back. I'm telling you today, Kelly, how much I appreciate that. Brenda Jackson, my mother, she loves me through my good races and my bad races. But what makes her uniquely my own is she definitely is going to tell me when it was a bad race. Everybody deserves to have someone in their life that you never have to wonder. And with my mother, I never have to wonder. To my father, Dale Earnhardt, I would not have been a race car driver if it not for him. He believed in me. It might have taken a little encouragement from Tony Urey Sr., but Dad came around. I appreciate my father, everything he put into my career, and all the guys on the old 80 AC Delco team who gave me a shot. To all the team members and co-workers that I've worked with, I've only driven for two teams in my career. From DEI to Hendrick Motorsports, I was blessed to work with the most talented group of mechanics, body men, chassis builders, engine builders, and so on. As I matured personally, the bonds I formulated with my team became so very important to me. They weren't just co-workers, they were friends. We cared for each other. We could fight like brothers, which me and Tony Jr. so often did. But I needed them, and I so badly wanted them to need me. I miss that camaraderie, and I'll miss it for the rest of my life, but the friendships that I've made will live beyond the time we spent in the garage together. To my fans, one thing that has made this career the incredible ride that it's been is Junior Nation. The fan support that I received straight out of the gate was in large part because of my famous last name. But throughout the ups and downs, it occurred to me that the fans that stuck it out and the new ones that joined us, they were there because of the person I was and not who they wanted me to be. By the end of my career, thanks in large part to social media, I've really gained a new appreciation for their dedication, their enthusiasm when we succeed, and their encouragement when we fall short of our goals. I don't think that anything in my professional career has meant more to me than the treatment that I've received from track to track by the fans that so dearly love our sport. To our sponsors, this wouldn't be an official NASCAR event unless we fired off some sponsor appreciation. In the beginning of my Cup career, there was Budweiser. They sent me on a trajectory that was unprecedented. Steve Uihlein, Tony Ponturo, and their team of people, wherever you are today, thank you so much for taking that big leap of faith with me. I want to recognize PepsiCo and National Guard for their role in my move to Hendrick Motorsports. They were the ones that got the 88 program off the ground, and to this day I continue to enjoy a partnership with Pepsi and Mountain Dew. Charlie Shaver, Jim Muse, and William Sturgill with Exalta, you guys have accepted me as your own. You're building an incredible legacy here at Hendrick Motorsports. You're fully invested into the 88 team, and you've helped me take our Dirty Mo Media from a vision to reality. For all those things, I'm very appreciative. Steve Rasmussen, Terrence Williams, and Jim McCoy, all the folks at Nationwide, our partnership dates back a really long time. Maybe you guys have heard it, but the Earnhardt family has been with Nationwide for more than 30 years. But what I'm proud of more is that we've accomplished a lot in the last 10. I hope you guys are as proud as I am. And by the way, Jim, I know you're here in the room. I'm just going to say what everyone else here in the room is thinking. Your brilliant use of the retired Peyton Manning is to be commended, if not replicated. To Jim Campbell and Terry Dolan, it's an honor to carry that Chevrolet bow tie on my cars. And I don't just mean that on the racetrack. I'm Chevrolet for life. I've been fortunate enough to have many other partners invest in my career, and I look forward to talking to them over the next several months, and I hope that you feel I did a great job for you, and I want you to know that our work's not finished. I also want to thank NASCAR for giving me and a whole lot of other fortunate people a place to race. I've never taken that for granted. Thanks to the France family for your support, and thank you to Mike Hilton, who has given me tons of personal advice. He's always shot me straight, and he's been a tremendous role model for me. The sport is in a great place with incredible, exciting young talent emerging as we speak. I look forward to seeing what the future and current stars in the sport can accomplish in the years to come. In closing, I am eager to explore new opportunities. I don't see myself really detaching from NASCAR. My intention is still to be involved in the sport on some level. In fact, I still have two Xfinity races to run for Junior Motorsports in 2018. So even after this season is over, you've not seen the last of me on the racetrack. But more than that, I want to be a part of the future of this sport for many, many years to come. Thank you very much.
Steven, real class act there. Dale Jr. done a great job in his statement saying he's going to step away from the sport, but he's still going to be involved. You know, he's got Junior Motorsports and a NASCAR Xfinity Series, but just real quick there, he mentioned he just wanted to step aside. He's done after the 2017 season. He got married to Amy, and Suzanne and I were very fortunate enough, I think it was last year at Atlanta Motor Speedway, we got to talk to Amy. Amy stood beside us whenever Dale was on the stage there with Mr. Kerry Tharp from which was then at NASCAR, which is now president of Darlington Raceway. But very fortunate enough to actually get to talk to her. But real quick, before we got Dennis Bickmeyer coming up here on the bottom of the show, what's your thoughts on his interview there at Hendrick Motorsports?
I think a lot of it is just really, you know, he did say he wanted to go out on his way. On his own terms, per se. Earlier this year, he said that he would, before he got into a contract, conversation with Rick Hendrick and Hendrick Motorsports, that he was going to take a month or so, and he was going to see how this season went. And then he would engage with them one way or the other. It looks like he only took about 60 days into the season, or about, you know, five races, and made that decision to step away. You know, what all of this comes down to, I think, you know, it's, you know, he's had two serious concussions in his career. Last season, he was out for nearly half the season after that Michigan wreck that put him out with that second serious concussion. And he's gone on record that several times last year he said, I really don't know how many concussions, to paraphrase him, that he's had in his career that have gone undiagnosed. So, you know, I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, and I think he is of the understanding that of all the hard work it took him to get back to this year, and he felt like he, if anything, owed all the fans a one-time shot as, not necessarily a victory lap tour or a goodbye tour, but one more chance to see him before he walked away. But to do it on his own terms and not necessarily as like a victory lap or a goodbye tour.
Yes, I would definitely agree with you, Stephen. I mean, you know, I'm glad they went ahead and done it now, like you said, to give the fans, you know, a chance to go ahead and see everything going out. And, you know, Dale's not the type to have that big, you know, yeehaw goodbye tour, like you said also. But, I mean, you know, he finally realized that from the way he talked in that interview or in the press conference there at Hendrick Motor Speedway, he just like you said, he wanted to step aside on his own terms. But Stephen, at this time, let's bring on our good friend, president of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Dennis, how you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Thank you. I hope you guys are well.
Yeah, we are, Dennis. Thank you very much for taking time to come out on the show. We got a big we've been talking Dale Earnhardt Jr. stuff, and, you know, you got your big race coming up.
I can't believe that. Why? Something happened today?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear it. Steve and I, we've been talking that. But, again, Dennis, thank you very much for taking time to come on. And I'm gonna let Stephen have you first there because I know your time is short because y'all got the big race weekend, the Toyota Owners 400 coming up at Richmond next weekend, and I think Stephen's going, and then you know, I got the big race here at Talladega Super Speedway the weekend following, and but I'm gonna let Stephen have you first, Dennis, and then I might have a couple questions then at the end.
Certainly.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Dennis, a strong, you know, personality in the sport. Obviously, a lot of fans follow him. Not a lot of fireworks or anything that you guys can kick this weekend off with Dale Earnhardt leaving out of there. That's for sure. So I'm just going to go and lead off with that. So anything real last minute you guys can put together for him?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're pretty deep into the race week with everything, and obviously I know it's Tuesday, and it's kind of caught everyone by surprise. So the good thing is we get two shots at this, and we'll see him back here in September. And what's great too about that September race is he's already committed to run the Xfinity race in September, so our fans will get the same race twice in September. So, you know, I think a big part of this too, and he mentioned it in the press conference today, you know, we'll see how things evolve over the next few weeks and months ahead as he says goodbye to the fans, you know, as a driver. But, you know, I think when he gets here this weekend, there's going to be enough going on since this is his first race after announcing his retirement that he's going to want to try to be as much business as usual as he can. Because as he also said today, he's here to continue to race and try to win and try to get into the playoffs and try to take one last swing for a championship.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, I had to lead off with that. You guys are doing something special. You're bringing back since 1988, last time that the Richmond International Raceway ran as a half mile before they reconstructed it as the current three-quarter mile D-shaped oval out there. You're bringing back the red walls out there. Talk a little bit about that. A lot of people remember that from the old, I don't know if we're allowed to say it, but the old cup days out there. So I'll just put it like that. Talk a little bit on those red walls.
Yeah, the old fairground days out here. So I've always been, you know, very interested in the history of this facility. And we've got a great history here with doing NASCAR racing for over 60 years. But, you know, you look at some of the old pictures in our hallways and you see the red and white guardrails from when this was a dirt track. And then when it was paved, it had some different types of walls and stuff, you know, obviously then we had the concrete walls, but the red and white went away when it was the new configuration that we race under now. So it's just always been interested in trying to bring that look and feel back, and we're able to pull it off this off season, and it looks fantastic. If you haven't seen the pictures, go on RIR.com and check it out. We rolled it out last week, and Rusty Wallace was in with us to help us out, you know, kind of a throwback to Rusty's, you know, early days of racing here as well. But it looks really cool. I think it's going to look cool when the cars get out there and they go zooming by and they'll actually get a feel for actually how fast those cars go on this little track.
This weekend, Toyota Care 250 and Toyota Owners 400, a lot of racing. A couple of years you guys have been running this under daytime. A little bit different than the traditional that, you know, Richmond has run for so many years, this race under the light, but this is a little bit unique for Richmond to be able to run this under the daytime. Now that you've been doing this for some time now, how is the fan reaction adapting to daytime racing out there, and how much of a different type of crowd are you starting to see now that this has been ongoing for some time?
Yeah, actually, this is only our second year of racing on Sunday afternoon for the Cup Series after 18 years of doing all-night racing here for both of our weekends. But, you know, you go way back in our history, you know, beyond those 18 years, there's another seven-year period where we were one race in the day, one at night, and then certainly before the advent of lights, we were racing under the sunlight for a long time. But, yeah, second year of doing this. So, you know, it's definitely an adjustment for some of our longtime fans, because some of the fans in the grandstands, you know, all they know was night racing. So it has been an adjustment for them. But you asked about, you know, one of the big differences that we've seen. Actually, I'll give you two. One was the competition last year, you know, racing during the day. We had some cloud cover, we had some sun, cloud cover, and then sun, and the track kept changing, and the drivers kept chasing it, and the crew chiefs kept chasing it, and we had that bump and run by Carl Edwards over Kyle Busch for the win last year. So we saw some great racing, and I think this weekend you're going to see that too. But I'm telling you, the temperatures are going to be warm this weekend. I think the track's going to be slick, you know, the lower downforce. There's a lot of factors in play here this weekend. And then the other thing too, though, that you'll see is a lot of kids at the racetrack this weekend. And that was part of this move. You know, we talk about it all the time that this sport was built on generations coming to the racetrack together. We were not seeing that as much with doing all night racing. And I think you're going to see, you'll see a lot of kids at the racetrack this weekend.
And as you start making some of these changes out there at Richmond, obviously the turning over today for one race, you've also gone back to the old red and white walls. You've repainted the walls out there, taking Richmond International Raceway off the walls, and also gone back to the Richmond designation directly on the walls themselves. How much of this is going back in a little bit of a retro feel for Richmond to reinvigorate some of the older school fans, but also as you guys prepare, obviously, for an upgrade, which will be coming to the facility in, I think it's, believe, after Phoenix, if I remember correctly.
Well, I hope that's the case. Nothing's been finalized on that yet, but we've certainly been in the discussions. But I think you've absolutely nailed it in how you described, you know, the Richmond wall badge and the red and white. And I think it is a kind of a nod to our longtime fans about our history and recognizing them and what they like and what they like about the facility. And then I think, too, for new fans or for first-timers that will be here this weekend and they get introduced to that as well, I think it's something that will stick with people. I think, you know, when you see some of the iconic stadiums around the country, you can see a feature of a stadium and know exactly what it is. You know, Soldier Field in Chicago, or Wrigley Field, or, you know, Fenway Park. And I like that about stadiums. I think that, you know, again, I think that needs to be part of your culture and certainly your identity. And I think we're bringing some of that with these changes as well. So it's a great way to stay connected with our longtime fans. And as we introduce new people to the sport, they're going to come in and see this fresh new look.
My final question for you is, this NASCAR this year, and I'd like to get you back on later this year, but I just want to get your early thoughts on this. I'm not going to ask you about the stage racing, but I'm going to ask you about a very key, important thing. But I'm going to ask you this question now, and I'm going to get your opinions later on. Richmond International is going to crown a regular season champion. I want to get your thoughts on it now, and I'm going to bring you back on later this year, and I'm going to get your thoughts later on. Where do you think some of the drivers that have already won, where do you think their championships hopes lie at for being crowned there at Richmond when they get back in September? I'm going to put you on the spot here because I'm going to get you back later on and I'm going to see where we are.
I love it. And I look forward to coming back on. You're not asking me to pick somebody, or are you asking me to pick somebody right now?
I just want to see where you think some of the drivers are right now, and see, you know, how the season is going, and where some of these drivers could potentially be when we get back to September in this hunt for that regular season championship that's going to be crowned right there at Richmond.
So here's an interesting thing, I think, is that, you know, Jimmy Johnson's won back-to-back races, but yet he's, what, fourth in the points? So I think, I find that interesting. Keselowski's has two wins as well, but yet Kyle Larson is leading the points, and I think we all know why he's leading the points. He has a win, but he has, you know, a couple of second-place finishes as well, but he's also scoring those stage points. And you throw all that together, Jimmy Johnson doesn't have a lot of stage points. He's got wins, but not a lot of stage points. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds, especially through the summer months when we get into some of the summer races, you know, twice at Michigan, twice at Pocono, to see how things kind of shake out. So far, I like it. I like the action that's been generated around the stages. I like, you know, drivers gunning for some of those points in each stage. I do think it's important to win the stages to pick up that extra playoff bonus point. I mean, all those things are going to factor in. I'll give you kind of the one thing that really sticks out to me right now is, and when we get back together prior to the September race, we'll look really hard at this. So if you remember in the Martinsville race when Stenhouse bumped Kyle Busch, and then Chase Elliott went on to get the stage win and pick up the extra playoff bonus point. That's going to be interesting to see how that point factors into the overall playoffs. Is that going to be something that Kyle Busch would have needed to get into the playoffs? Is it something that he would have needed maybe to advance in the playoffs? To me, I find that fascinating.
Dennis, I appreciate you taking the time, and I know I've taken a lot of your time already, and Tim's probably been sitting over there waiting for me to give him a turn, but I will see you guys this weekend for the Toyota Carrera 250 and the Toyota Owners 400. You, Mike, and everybody out there do a great job up there at Richmond. I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Thanks again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Dennis, I won't hold you too long. Just want to let you throw out there all of the, I guess I'd call the extracurricular activities that are probably going to be going around Richmond International Speedway this weekend, far as outside stuff, far as kids stuff. Can you let everybody know what all's going on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we always pack a lot into these race weekends, and kind of working backwards a little bit. You know, Sunday, We introduced, and I know I've talked to you about this in the past, we introduced the track takeover driven by AAA, where the fans can come down on the track and walk the track and sign the start finish line. And every year that we've been doing that for the last couple of years, we continue to add kind of more entertainment and more things for people to see and do from 10 a.m. to noon down on the track. And so this year, Austin Dillon's going to be out doing a Q&A with the fans. There'll be a couple of other representatives from RCR out there as well. Matt Tift, who drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, he'll be in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday, but he's going to stay over, and they're going to keep his hauler here. And the fans are going to be able to walk through that. And I think fans find that fascinating because they always wonder, you know, how do they get the race cars in there? How do they pack all these tools in there? How do they pack all the equipment in there? So this is a real cool opportunity for fans. And like I said, we'll have other entertainment down there, music, all kinds of things going on. We've got some music in our campgrounds this year. We have our inaugural 5K run on Thursday, where if you're going to come and run or walk or do the kids run, you're going to finish at the finish line on the racetrack. So that's new for us. We got our Virginia 529 Kids Zone. We're really all in on this kid stuff, man. We're in on teaching these kids the science behind the sport. And we have this program called Speed in the Science, and it really is talking about kind of the technology and the science behind the sport. So we're doing all kinds of cool and different things to engage our fans, to introduce some new fans to the sport. But, you know, more than anything, we're having a good time with it.
That's awesome, Dennis. And I want to ask you one last question. I know Stephen asked about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. retirement deal here coming up. Dale's going to step aside after the 2017 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series deal. And like he said, you know, you probably don't have time here for this weekend to probably do anything for him. But do y'all plan to do anything in the fall, which I'm sure you probably will, Dennis, as far as Dale Earnhardt Jr. stepping aside?
Yeah, I think certainly we will. Very similar to what we did with Tony Stewart last year. We didn't do anything in April. Same with Jeff Gordon. We didn't do anything at the first race, but we did in the second race. So I think we continue to follow that pattern. And I think you'll see a lot of the racetracks that have two races do the same thing.
That sounds good, Dennis. And Dennis, like I said, Stephen said we've kept you longer, but you want to go ahead and throw out the schedule and everything for
sure.
This coming weekend there at Richmond International Raceway, and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and the website there at Richmond. You got the floor, bud.
Well, definitely. I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, I encourage everyone to go to RIR.com for all things Richmond this weekend. A lot of good ticket information, camping, all that information that's out there, as well as the schedule and all the activities. But, you know, we kick off Friday, April 28th, and we're on the track from about 11 o'clock right through Cup qualifying, which I think goes out about 4:45 late afternoon on Friday. So it's going to be hot this weekend. So that'll be, be good to see how the track rubbers up and then how slick it might get. Saturday, we got a couple of cup practices. We got Xfinity Series qualifying, and we're a 1 o'clock start for the Xfinity race. And we're a Dash for Cash race again this year. So back-to-back Dash for Cash races for us and back-to-back on the schedule this year, because Bristol was last week as well. And then Sunday, we're a 2 o'clock start for the Toyota Owners 400. But all those other activities take place. Track takeover, 10 to noon. The Midway opens at 8 o'clock. Parking lots open at 7. So we're just looking for a great time out here this weekend. We got a great reputation as a really cool place in NASCAR to tailgate. And the tailgate fans, or the fans out here tailgating, I should say, have a really good time out here. So looking forward to a big weekend.
Oh, yeah, we are too, Dennis. And, again, thank you very much for taking time to call in. And Suzanne and I, you know, we tricked up there a couple of years ago. You put on a great show. But make sure Stephen and Anne-Marie get potty meat sandwiches.
You got it, man. We look forward to having them.
All right, great. I wish we could come. But, anyway, Dennis, thank you very much, and good luck on everything this coming up weekend with the Toyota Owners 400 and everything else you got going on, the Dash for Cash. And, Dennis, again, like I said, thank you very much for being a part of our show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it, Dennis. All right, Stephen, that was Dennis. Dennis is going to drop off there. You're going to Richmond also. Suzanne and I are going to be right here watching it on TV. And, well, my dadgum social media is blowing up. Anyway, Stephen, Dale Earnhardt Jr. stepping aside. We keep talking about it. Who is your pick to win the Toyota Owners 400 this weekend at Richmond International Speedway?
You know, Kurt Busch last year, I tell you what, he put on a heck of a show last year for everybody up here in Richmond. And I don't know if he can come back and do it again or not, but Kyle Busch's brother, man, he's been, you know, somebody that's been able to tear that track all up multiple times. I don't know. I tell you what, I'm going to go with Richmond's own Denny Hamlin for the take this one. You know, there's at least three drivers out there that have an opportunity to take this thing home, but I'm going to go with Chesterfield's Denny Hamlin to win the Toyota 400 this weekend at Richmond International Raceway.
That's a good pick, Steve. That's a good, really good pick. And I'm going to bring Suzanne on here in just a moment. She's probably going to get mad. I want to say, let me back up. Suzanne was interviewed by our local NBC affiliate in Birmingham today about retiring of Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think I sent you a picture, so she's probably blushing a little bit, but I'm going to bring Suzanne on also. But, Stephen, I think I'm going to pick go ahead.
Just let her know that when you bring her on, you know, we are live and we don't run on delays around here.
Exactly. Just like you said, like you texted me earlier, we don't have a beep, beep, beep button. But I'm going to go with Dale Earnhardt Jr. I got a feeling the racing gods are going to be with him, and I think he's going to win this weekend there at Dennis's track, Richmond International Raceway. I just got a feeling. Because, I am sucking in my fantasy racing lane. You've seen I am dead last. I don't know what the world's going on with me, but I am dead last. So I'm going to go with Dale Earnhardt Jr. to win the Toyota Owners Richmond race there.
Well, I mean, he has won an Xfinity Series race out there up here recently, so he might be due for Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win. We'll have to see.
Might be. Let's go ahead and bring my wife. I want to thank her very much to all of our listeners. Suzanne has been doing this for 3 years for you and I, Stephen. She answers the phone. She posts on social media, but I want to bring my good friend and my darling wife, Suzanne Despain, into the pit stop with Tim and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Suzanne, have you got supper ready yet?
No. And you're going to eat crow because you took my pick.
Well, just because I took your pick, you go ahead and pick Dale Jr. too?
I can't.
I eat crow all the time.
That's potted meat.
Oh, Steven, get on her.
Sandwiches tonight, but it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. all the way.
Well,
you know how she is, Steven. She's a diehard Dale Jr. fan.
Well, you know, hey, don't say much. You know, we might all be suffering through. What are those things? Chicken Supremes again?
Oh,
the Bojangles Supreme.
The Bojangles left over from Darlington. OMG. I hope Carrie Tharp's
Anne
not.
Marie loved those.
I hope Carrie
those.
Tharp's not listening. All right. Suzanne picked Dale Earnhardt Jr. I picked Dale Earnhardt Jr. Stephen, who'd you pick? Denny Hamlin?
Denny Hamlin, yeah. Denny Hamlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put Suzanne back in the mute and, Stephen, I want to thank you very much coming on tonight. A big show. I hate it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to step aside after 2017. But let everybody know if they can follow you out on social media and your website, bud. We're going to go ahead and close it out.
You can follow me at Speedway Digest on Twitter, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest on Facebook at SpeedwayDigest.com. We'll be at Richmond all weekend long. Dash Cash on Saturday afternoon, and the Toyota Care 250 and the Toyota Owners 400 on Sunday afternoon. So catch all the action up there. And you guys are going to go to Talladega next week.
That's right. Sounds good. To all of our listeners, follow SpeedwayDigest.com for all your updates every weekend, and not just this past, just this coming weekend, but Stephen will be at Richmond International Raceway to cover everything, and we will be back here again live next Tuesday from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, and my darling wife, Suzanne, that keeps answering her phone. We will see you next week live from Talladega. And I want to dedicate this song here right now, Stephen, to our good friend Dale Earnhardt Jr. See you next week. Bye.
Walking down the street, a hand of mine, it don't keep them other guys. And that one eyes are looking at you. But it's alright, and that's okay. Who could blame them anyway? You're so pretty, and you ain't even got a clue. Cause everywhere we go, girl, you're the star of the show.
Season. No mercy. This year, NASCAR in Richmond won't be slowing down for anything or anyone. So where will you be on race day? Sitting at home or strapped in for whatever happens next? NASCAR. Richmond. Chaos at every corner. Witness the chaos of the Toyota Owners 400 on April 30th, with tickets starting at just $35 and special offers for youth and military. Visit RIR.com.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race.
This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.